wrong way around. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. I really like whoever that Negro choir and that backup singers in that team. It makes me want to holler, amen, brothers and sisters. I'm surprised some of you didn't. Now I'm confused. I got this nice, good-looking, handsome young picture of Brother Luttrell this morning. Tonight, Miss Evie brings me a tape of the Luttrell family and him with a gray beard, and he looks older than I do. I guess there's a difference between preaching and singing, and it's really wearing on him, but I was glad to get it. And thank you, Miss Evie. Thank you very much. That wasn't the one that told you they just sung what the Lord let them, did it? You the one that made the request to somebody and said, we don't take requests. We just sing what the Lord leads us to sing. And then they ended up singing it in one service twice. I wonder if the Lord's losing focus or they're losing focus. Never mind. Don't answer that question. I want to tell you, it's a whole lot of things, a whole lot of difference in playing spiritual and being spiritual. If you can't have some fun as a child of God between here and heaven, when you plan to have it? As you look into your Bible tonight, I want you to notice there in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31. I remember years ago I was at a meeting and there was a fellow by the name of James St. John. I don't know if he's still alive. He's probably not. Very commanding man. I mean, the kind of people that would mesmerize you, haul you to South America, Australia, or another country. And he was preaching along and preaching about that women that fix themselves up, that look nice, were going to hell. He asked a fellow by the name of Brother Goodson and said, do you understand what I'm telling you? He said, yeah, my wife's going to hell and yours is ugly. That's the only way you can deal with an odd head like that. I mean, really. And yeah, he's sitting there thinking, I thought, yeah, we'll see how this comes out and all that. Yeah, yeah. So in other words, Brother Goodson knew his wife is pretty. She fixed herself up, she's pretty. And obviously your wife is ugly. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Jeremiah. I got it on, yes. Jeremiah chapter number 31, if you find the place you're able to stand, look in verse 1. I tell you, it's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And let me tell you right now, just like they've sung, when we all see Jesus, what a day that's going to be. And just like they sung, that we was without hope until Jesus stepped in. And that's the truth of the matter. Let me say to you that in you look in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 1. And at the same time, said the Lord, that I will be the God of all the families of Israel. They shall be my people. And thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. And the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Let's pray together. We'll finish down through the next about 12 verses in the midst of the sermon. But let's pray, and then I want to preach a little while on everlasting love. Now, Father, we bless you now for the word of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God to lead us, guide us, and direct us into all the truth. Thy word is true. We thank you, Lord, for these that have gathered here tonight. I pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I'm going to preach a little bit all tonight about everlasting love. Now, when you look in the book of Jeremiah, that he starts out, is that, in case you don't know it, is that Israel is the people of God. Fact is, they're the apple of God's eye. People are going to say, well, you know, that's racist. Well, okay, thank you. It's divine racism because God has chosen Israel as his chosen people, and they are the apple of his eye. In fact is, you'll find over there in the book of Genesis, do not turn there, but in chapter number 12 and about verse number 3, God said, bless them, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. in the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that in the last part of the verse, he says, and notice, they shall be my people, talking about the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. Now, in verse number 2, here's the reason why that we're talking about, and here's the reason why God's bringing this up, is because these people that belong to the Lord, that have been left of the sword, now some of them died, no doubt, and as a result of that, those that survived found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, whenever I went and caused them to rest. Now, I want to tell you something. Isn't it amazing, whenever you're looking in the Bible, that there was a man over there in the book of Genesis by the name of Noah, when all the world and the imagination of their heart was evil continually, and God brought the end of all flesh, and he raised up a man by the name of Noah, and for 120 years was building on an ark, preaching every day about something the world never had seen, and that was a rain and a flood that was going to come. They didn't believe it, and as a result, they no doubt made light of it. I guarantee you, till the Lord shut the door. Now, one thing about Hollywood, you can depend on them just about to miss it every time. But let me tell you something, is that those people like Noah and his family, they didn't just get in the ark and go to calling people. God called them into the ark of safety. God called them in. I got to tell you right now, when you got saved, God called you in. And when you was washed by the blood, born into the family of God, and saved and by the grace of God, you were called in by the marvelous grace of God. I think about, you know, that it's always been that way. That's why in verse number two is that they found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice is that in verse number 3, he says, Lord, thou hast appeared of old. It's always been that way. Do you notice that? Listen, from the beginning to the end, same God, same word, same grace, same drawing power. It's always been just exactly like that. I was thinking about, you know, in this lesson you're looking at, is that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in a day when nobody else believed what he had to say. Fact is, talk about having to preach by faith. He'd never seen a rain either. And now he's preaching about a flood, got an ark big enough to put everybody that's alive that God's going to let get on there, plus the animals by 2, the clean by 7. And let me tell you right now, what a humongous sight that must have been, not only to Noah, but to all that. And for 120 years, didn't have a lot of, wasn't a lot of converts going on then. Wasn't a lot of newsletters being written and about how many people got saved. I'm not worried about how many people walk down the aisle and make a profession of faith. I want to know what they're doing 10 years from now. Next year be just enough, but I want to know what they're going to be doing many years from now. I can tell you right now, I'm not going to live that many more years, I don't think. But even if I did 10 or 12 more years, even if I did live that long, I'd expect to see every one of you that are still alive serving God somewhere. You know why? I believe you're the real deal. I believe you're real. And if I found out you was in and out, more out than you was in, and just kind of a hopscotch Baptist, I'd be disappointed in you. But I'd love you just as much as I possibly ever could. A reason being is you'll find that the Lord appeared of old and he wanted them to know that salvation always has been by the grace of God. Salvation is tonight by the grace of God. Salvation will be tomorrow by the grace of God. It's always been that. It's never been anything but that. I want to say that whenever you look into this Bible lesson here, that notice in about verse number 3 again, he said, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to stop right there because the love of God, you know what it is? Everlasting. As you look into this Bible lesson, it's right here, you'll find is that by the drawing power of God that he drawed us into his family and he drawed us, no doubt, by the grace of God. It's an everlasting love that God has put and given to you and I and that is shed abroad in our heart. You know what that means, don't you? It means it's never ending. You know what that means, don't you? That means his love will be manifested throughout all eternity from now on. Now, I want you to see that there's been times and days gone by that we had as many people in church, we've had as many come through that we have stuck. And let me tell you right now, I've had some of them that stayed for years. I've had some that stayed for 10 or 12 years. I've had some that stayed for 7 or 8 years. I've asked some that, you know, many like that. And you know what they did was, is that, amen, preacher, amen. We love that preacher. Hey, you ought to come hear the preacher. Hey, you ought to come listen to the singers. Hey, you ought to. I mean, they, but you, then you know what happened is? They got the lockjaw. Why? Why? Changed their mind. They finally ended up going down the road somewhere. Tonight, they're just here, there, and everywhere, and nowhere. You know why? Changed their mind. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad when I read about God's love, it's an everlasting love, and he ain't changed his mind. You know, I've said the same things, acted the same way before him that I have anybody else in the world, and God still loves me. I'll tell you the reason why that I like singing that jingle, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I will tell you, it feels good to be able to know what I'm going on, but I'm not just going on a feeling. I'm glad to know that when he bowed his head and that he said it's finished, that God so loved the world that it's an everlasting love, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, whenever I go home tonight, whatever may arise that I'll be troubled about or can be troubled about, is that I won't be troubled about if I don't wake up here where I'm going to wake up. Now, if you're not saved, you've got something to worry about. At any given time, you can go ahead and leave this world. Your heart stops beating. Where would you be tonight, young man, if your heart stopped beating? By the time tomorrow. Where would you be, young lady, if your heart stopped beating and you had to meet your maker? We sung about it. These singers sung about it. Hey, listen, we had backup Negro singers singing harmony about it. And Miss Lori was singing about it, facing the Lord Jesus Christ. Where would you be tonight? See? And don't give me that stupid answer like that old boy I was talking to one time. I said, hey, if you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? I don't blank, I know. I said, well, what do you think? What do you think he would do? Well, I guess I'd go to the morgue. Okay, yeah, that's a given. That's a given. And then after that, well, cemetery. Yeah, yeah, that's right there, you know, and all that business there. And where do you think you'd finally end up? Certainly not Walmart. I said, well, you got that much going for you, friend. But do you ever stop to think that you'd better consider that one of these days you're going to leave this world, die, either in the Lord or out of the Lord? Why die without Christ when you can die in Christ and trust in him as your Lord and your Savior? All right, verse number 6 and 7, notice if you will, that where you're going to learn all this down at the house of God. Look in verse 6 and 7. He said, for there be a day that the watchmen upon Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up unto Zion, unto the Lord our God. He said, for thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness of Jacob. Shout among the chief of the nations, and publish ye, and praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Now I'm going to tell you what he says in that passage there. You and I ought to be able to sing a song with gladness. You know, every now and again, I get tickled some of these singers. I'm not laughing at them. I'm laughing with them. Just because I know where it's headed, I realize I know where God has brought me from, where I would have been, could have been, and should have been had it not been for the marvelous grace of God. I want to tell you, we ought to sing with gladness. In this church, we don't have trouble with that. We've got good singing, congregation singing, special music singing, people that are singing in harmony. Fact is, your sister-in-law out there at the birthday party after we got through singing happy birthday, she said, my word, we can't compete with that. I've never heard anybody sing happy birthday in harmony before. And some of them, you know, singing with different pitches there, and happy birthday. We had a great time and a good time. And I want to just say to you is that it's good to be able to be saved by the grace of God and to come down to the house of God and make a joyful noise unto the Lord and sing with gladness in your heart. You ever been to a church and they just looked like it would kill them to ever crack a smile and they just drug through every song? You know, one of the worst ways to die is being drugged to death. I mean, really. I want to say that as a result of that, when you come to God's house, you ought to come and ready to shout among the nations and publish or preach and praise the name of the Lord that they might be able to know the difference between being religious and being born again. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that the reason why that we're happy like that is because he made the statement and he said, Lord, in verse number 7, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. I'll tell you the reason we ought to be in business with God, for God, by the grace of God, is because we're concerned about others that don't yet know him in the free pardon of sin. Number 5 tonight, in verse number 8. The Bible said that, if you will please, concerning the nation of Israel that we've been singing about, that we've been preaching about, that we've been thinking about, concerning them, you know, they've been scattered. And I guarantee you, there's a lot of people. You ever hear them talk about the lost tribes of Israel? Well, they're not lost to God. He knows exactly where they are. And let me say to you that, if you will, that in verse number 8, you're going to find that he's going to bring them out of the north country. He's going to bring them from the coast. He's going to bring some that are blind, some that are lame. He's going to bring some women that are with child, some women that are in labor, some women, buddy, that are in a great company, that are with the nation of Israel, that are marching. God's going to bring them all in and bring them to a place to where they know he is God, and that they'll know that that he claims them as his people. All right, verse number 9. Look at it real quickly. Let me tell you, when you come to God, you don't come bold and proud and boisterous and bragging on yourself. Here's what he said. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. See that? Let me tell you, these are people that are coming with a broken heart and that are coming supplicating God. And that as a result of that, you'll find is that they're being led by the Lord. You know, it'd be good if you wanted to build a case and stop on that. We always, when you read a verse like that, you stop to think about what it said. The question is, who's leading you? Better yet, who you following? See? All right, last but not least, if you will please, is that in verse number 10, the Bible says, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations. Man, what a good statement. In verse number 11, he says, I've redeemed Jacob. In verse number 12, they're not going to sorrow anymore at all. In verse number 13, they're going to be able to rejoice. And just like they've never done anything wrong, we realize and know that they have, and that many of them have died without hope, without God. But as a nation, that'll be born one of these days in a day. I'm glad that God has loved them with an everlasting love. Now, if that be the case, that's the reason why that you and I ought to stop, let that be sunk in our heart, not only individually, but for a nation that is the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel. You know, there's a lot of people out there in the world that we're living in that are teaching God's already given up on Israel. God hadn't given up on Israel. They always have been, or tonight will be tomorrow, the apple of God's eye. Make no mistake about it, she is the wife of Jehovah, even after she played the harlot and he gave her a writing of divorcement. Now, the bride of Christ, however, is a different one that's being built now, and it is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel's the wife of Jehovah. Make no mistake about it, he's not going to lay her aside, but he is going to come, and they will finally see him as he approaches in the sky. And many of them that are without God will cry for the rocks and mountains to fall upon them. But I'll tell you, those that know him in the free pardon of sin shall rejoice and be exceeding glad. And not only that, but they'll not sorrow anymore. I don't know about you, but there's, and I think it's in our songbook. The old account was settled long ago. And if it's not in our songbook, it should have been. But nonetheless, as that there was a time on earth when in the book of heaven, an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top, many things below. I want to tell you something. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the old accounts have been settled long ago. And you know, every now and again, I'll mess up. It's not an accident. Most time I know it before I do it and mess up anyhow. But I want to tell you something. Every time I've ever come to him, he's been faithful to be able to tell me, I've loved you, boy, with an everlasting love. And not only that, but I can spank you with an everlasting paddle. But you're going to live for God. You're going to live for me if you're going to live here. If not, I'll take you out so you're not a stumbling block. See? I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God's love is everlasting. I'm not working on the buddy plan. I couldn't hold up on my end of it. Neither could you. See? I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to say thank you for loving us. I want to say thank you, Lord, for loving us in spite of who and what we are. Thank you for the grace of God. And we thank you for the drawing power of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct us into thy word. Thy word is true. We want to say thank you for your love in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.